Well, if you have a Bible in front of you, turn back to that portion we just read in John's Gospel, please. John's Gospel reading from chapter 1. And we should be considering this one verse, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This statement here, recorded for us by God through his servant John, who himself declares here, being one of the disciples, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, that they beheld the glory of this one, that he is God. John, in fact, being one of only three privileged apostles who was permitted to see the Lord Jesus in his glory, to have it declared when they went up the mountain, and where Moses of old and Elijah the prophet, they appeared in heavenly form talking to the Lord Jesus. And we see there that God the Father caused a cloud to overshadow Moses and Elijah to show that this is him. This one who was left that they alone saw, the Lord Jesus, is him whom we must worship. For he is God. And that's what that statement, we beheld his glory, means. And we see that he's called the only begotten of the Father. As indeed one of the carols we sing says, begotten, not created. Each one of us are created. Yes, we came forth from our parents' seed, but we were created by the Almighty. But this one, he comes forth from God, for he is God. In that mystery that indeed is declared for us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God being mysteriously three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But not three gods. One Almighty God. And this God in human flesh, we read here that these privileged people who were called to believe on him, They actually saw this one walking this earth. Not just in human form, he actually was man. He didn't just appear, he actually took part in our flesh. That's what the scriptures say. He actually took part of our flesh, that he might taste death for every man. That's what the scriptures say. You cannot taste death unless you be indeed that, unless you be partaking of that which is mortal. This is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. But nonetheless, if God give you faith to believe this, such wonders of God's grace are made known unto you. Firstly, I want to look briefly at this evening the great mystery that this is, that this statement here speaks of. For I address each one this evening, I address each one who listening to this message with one question at the outset. And it is this: has Christ has Christ Jesus come to you? Because that's what this verse is speaking all about. Christ come to his people. We beheld his glory. He dwelt amongst us. You see, there were many people in the land of Judea where Christ came to, and indeed Galilee where he was brought up. There were many people who saw this man, but to the most part, most people thought he was just the carpenter's son. That's who they thought he was. To some, they thought he was a miracle worker. To some, they thought he was some kind of a political messiah, some kind of a freedom fighter to release them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. Very few actually could actually say that the Word, God himself, they acknowledged God dwelt with them. You see, that's what it means to be a believer, a true believer on the Lord Jesus. That's what it means to be one who is a true child of God. Christ Jesus must come and dwell with you. He must dwell within you. You must receive him in your heart. But it is him who comes. And so we see this is a great mystery. And at this time of year, there used to be, I reckon, probably more so in the past, although there's an element of it still, there used to be so many surprises to look forward to. Especially with regards to presents and such like. But, you know, it's becoming more and more the case where people know what they're getting in advance. Some months in advance. I too am guilty of this. It's not my fault. It was just Alison decided to get me something and told me what it was. And she had to take me to the shop to find out which one I wanted of this item. But there are many people who know what they're getting in advance. Some people even buy their own present. Some people don't buy a present for each other. Some couples, I've heard on numerous occasions, they say, well, this is my present from them to me, and this is my present from them to me. But they chose their own present, and in effect, they bought their own present for themselves. The surprise element seems to be disappearing a little bit. Well, the message of the gospel, it's called the good news. Or as the shepherds outside of Bethlehem were told, they were good tidings of great joy. It means all these things. The herald of the gospel, the good news, the good tidings about the birth of Christ Jesus is indeed both a mystery revealed and that which remains nonetheless beyond our understanding, beyond our puny comprehension. It's a mystery. It's called a mystery revealed. Elsewhere in the New Testament, it's called the mystery that was kept hid from the foundation of the world. And now has been revealed through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, it still remains a mystery. It still remains a mystery how these things could be. How these things could come to pass. That indeed God became a man. The Bible tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. That God was revealed. That God revealed himself in frail flesh. We're told elsewhere, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He wasn't a sinner. He had no part in sin, but he knew the frailty of our flesh. We're told elsewhere also that he took the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. This indeed is a great mystery. God, Christ Jesus, actually took flesh. Actually took flesh. Not pretended to. He actually took flesh to save his people from their sins. That's what his name means. That's what the name Jesus means. Joseph was told by the angel, "You shall call his name Jesus." For a reason. In those days, people were given names for a reason. Names meant something. They still do in some parts of the world today. Not so much, there's much thought go into names now. Usually it's because it's fashionable. Usually it's because someone famous has that name. But then a name was given for a purpose. Especially those recorded in the Bible. And he was told, Joseph was told, "You shall call his name Jesus." And the name means God saves. "For he shall save his people from their sins." The name literally means God saves. God is Saviour. And so this one is God. He came to save his people from their sins. Maybe you. Maybe you. Maybe you are one of those ones he came to save from your sin. Maybe you're one of those ones he's speaking to even at this time of year, this year. There remains a mystery that the angels of God, these angelic, these powerful messengers of God, these spirits of which they're called in the Bible, that at times took a human form. There remains a mystery that these angels of God, we're told, continue to desire to look into. To look into and to comprehend. Such things that are revealed in this good news and are revealed to those who are called to believe on this Lord Jesus, that they cannot comprehend. What are those things? Well, it is the reason why Christ Jesus took flesh. They cannot comprehend that this Jesus came to give himself a ransom for many. That he came to set free. To set free sinners called from eternity, chosen by God from eternity past. He called, he came to pay the price to set them free. And what was that price? That price indeed was the sacrifice of himself. That's what we read of a little later on in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus was crucified. He was indeed crucified to set his people free. The angels desire to look into that mystery. Oh, but if God reveal that to you, you need no other mystery to know in this life. It's the greatest of mysteries to be brought by faith, to grasp by faith. You'll never grasp it in that sense, but to be brought to believe it is to have the greatest of knowledge. Secondly, see from the probable time, now here is where it gets controversial. Shouldn't do. It's because people don't know their Bible. People would prefer, you see, when talking about God and talking about Christ, they would prefer to listen to tradition rather than what the Word of God says. Well, you know, with regards to when Christ was born, I don't know if you know this, I don't know if you realize this. Very, very, very little is recorded. Did you know that? Very little is recorded. Far more is recorded about what he came into the world to do and what he achieved and how he achieved it and what he has brought forth for his people in what he achieved at the cross. Very little is spoken of about when Christ was born. But we can say without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely, with capital letters, that Christ Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. We see from the probable time that Jesus was born, the great joy and the privilege which belongs to those believing on him. You see, words in the Bible are not there by mistake. Everything is written for a purpose. It has a meaning. You see, the Jews in the Old Testament were commanded to keep certain festivals. They were given what was called a law through Moses. Most people think of the law given through Moses as just being the Ten Commandments. There were the many things they were commanded. There were the sacrifices, the many, many sacrifices that pointed to Christ. And of course, there were festivals that were to be kept each year, continually. All of these which pointed to and have already now been fulfilled in Christ. They are defunct. One of them, the most famous one perhaps, being the Passover festival. Christ Jesus died at Passover, fulfilling that festival, fulfilling that Passover, because he is that which the Passover lambs all look to. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one sacrifice made at the end of the ages. That's why we read of the Lord Jesus gathering together with his disciples for the Last Supper. But all these festivals, they were fulfilled in Christ. Now the clue as to when Christ would have been born is seen in this statement itself in our text in John 1 verse 14. We read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now the word used in the original Greek here, this isn't a Greek lesson, but the original word here, translated into English here, can also be translated to tabernacle, to take up residence. Now there was indeed a festival in the Old Testament called the Feast of the Tabernacles. I'm not going to go into that detail tonight. But the message of Bethlehem, most importantly, the message of Bethlehem, whether we accept Christ was born this time, that time, or the other time, that's irrespective. That's irrelevant. The most important thing to remember, the message of Bethlehem, is that God comes by his Son and he is revealed in the hearts of sinners. He must come and dwell. He must come and live with you. He must come to you. That's the message of Bethlehem. He is revealed in the hearts of sinners. It's spoken of elsewhere in the Bible as to shine forth in the heart. The evidence that this is so, the evidence that he's come into someone's heart and he's been revealed to them, is simple, not complicated. The simple evidence of this is that that one who knows Christ has come to them, they believe. That's it. That was enough for those shepherds, you see, on the hillsides outside of Bethlehem. Maybe those men were illiterate. I don't think they were well educated in any way. But they said, let us go and see the thing which has come to pass. That was enough for them. But lastly, I want you to see the message of Christ's birth is that he came personally to those people he called unto salvation. Christ Jesus came into this world purposely to do something. He came to save his people from their sins. And those people he came to save, he came to call. And those people he called, all of them who knew themselves called by Christ, they all came to believe him. Without exception. And the same is true today. Here in the Bible, we are told that most people rejected Christ. Most people rejected Christ, as indeed they do today. We see in the previous verses in our text, in verse 11, he came to his own. He came to the Jews. He came to his fellow Jews. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Yes, indeed. He's despised of men, the Bible says. He's rejected of men. But you know, all without exception, everyone, you too, if you even are found as one who believes on Christ, as one who has known his salvation, all without exception would reject him. Unless God takes up residence in your heart, you see, by his Spirit, there will be no faith, no belief on Christ. Yet there were some, we're told, that received Christ. They received him gladly. John was amongst them, who this gospel is named after, who wrote this gospel. Christ came and dwelt with him. And we read in the previous verses 12 and 13. But as many, yes, many rejected. Many reject today. But as many as received him. As many as receive him now. As many as received him. To them he gave the right to become, or better put, to be called, to name themselves children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, some people say, oh, well, we're all God's children. But that's not true. The children of God are those who believe wholly and only upon the Lord Jesus. That's what the Word of God says here. But who are these people? Did they somehow instigate this? Well, no, we see that indeed it was God who did it all. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Lord Jesus told a man when he walked this earth, he told a man once, a man who knew everything there was to know about the Jewish religion, could quote backwards and sideways the scriptures. And he said to him, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And he, trying to work it out in human terms, said, "Well, how can a man return to his mother's womb and be born a second time when he is old?" Well, Christ was not talking, you see, of physical things. And he made that plain to this man. And he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. He cannot see God's salvation. You see, you've got to be made alive. A corpse, you see, cannot do anything. And we're all born into this world sinners, dead in sins. And we're not children of God. And we must be made that by a working of God in us. And so then, what of you? What of you? John says, the Word dwelt among us. Tangibly. And you might say, well, the apostle saw Jesus physically. That was easy for him. Well, the Lord Jesus said, after he had paid that price for sin at the cross, after he had indeed borne his people's sin in his own body on the tree, when he was raised again on the third day, and some time after, one of the apostles who had not been with the other apostles when he appeared and showed himself to them after he'd been raised, this young man Thomas said, indeed, I will not believe it's Jesus. I will not believe it's the Lord. I will not believe it's my Saviour who's raised again that you've seen, unless I see the imprints of the nails in his hands. And I can put my hand in his side where that sword went in his side. I'm not going to believe. And you know what? He didn't. But you see, God purposed that to teach us a lesson. And he said to Thomas, he says, after Thomas reached and felt the hands and the side, he said, "My Lord and my God." And then the Lord Jesus turned to him and he said, blessed indeed, truly happy indeed, beyond measure are those who believe having not seen. You see, Christ still comes and dwells. He comes and dwells in the hearts of those he calls to salvation, but he comes into the heart. How do you know that it's so? Well, you just know it's so. Because from non-believing, you know yourself to be believing. From not knowing yourself to be forgiven of sin, you know yourself to be pardoned of all sin, having called upon his name. That's the promise of the gospel. And so what of you? Is this Christ? Is this Saviour? Is he coming to you now? Has he come to you now? Has he come to you? The most important thing you should know is, do you know God? People say, well, you can't say you know God. You can. You can. It's eternal life to know God, to know Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ? Do you believe on him as your Saviour right now? Then this is because, and this can only be, this which brings it forth. This is because he has come to dwell. To dwell within your heart, not someone else's heart. He's come to dwell within your heart. To reveal himself to you. To actually, fully know God. We're going to turn